late, being late. We do work our public hearing just a little bit different than what planning and zoning does. I'll turn over the meeting to Mr. Griffith so he can explain the rules. Jim?
Thank you. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information that comes forward during these hearings to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank, who is the Director of Planning and Zoning, will give council a report on what happened at the time of the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing and of any recommendation that came forward from the commission. After Mr. Lank does that, we will then call on the applicant. I think today in both of these conditional uses, the applicants are represented by legal counsel. So legal counsel will approach the stand and sort of choreograph how the presentations are made. You're called upon as a witness when you come to the stand, or when you approach the podium, before you make a statement. We would like you to state your name and your address. We have to be able to tell who has said what at any given time in case there should be an appeal. We have to be able to identify that on the record. After the presentation is completed by the applicant, we will call on anyone else who is present in support of. We will also call on anyone who is present in opposition to the application. If there are opponents present, they will be given the opportunity to come forward, state their names, addresses, and state their position. Now, after we have the presentation by the applicant and any statements by opposition, there won't be questioning back and forth. We won't allow the applicant's attorney to question you. We won't, if you're an opponent, we won't allow you to question the applicant or the applicant's attorney. It's not a trial. We just hear the two sides of it. We would ask that you conduct yourselves in an orderly fashion. If someone makes a statement that you agree with, we would ask that you not show that by applause, because the matter is not determined by who makes the loudest noise or how much applause happens. If you have a cell phone, we would ask you to turn it off or turn it to silent service so as not to disrupt the proceedings. After the hearing is over, in each case, council will then decide whether they choose to make a decision today. They're not required to, but they can. If they decide not to, then they'll defer to a later date. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure that we will follow today? Okay. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. First application today is conditional use number 1741. It's the application of David G. Horsey and Sons Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a bar pit excavation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 199.5 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 20, also known as Hartscrapple Road, and being east of Road 446, also known as Ashbury Road. The commission in their public hearing on May 8th, which I will note is a correction on the first line of my report, did receive an exhibit booklet like this on this application, which has been a part of the record since April 28th, which was provided by the applicant and gave a criteria on what they're proposing. We received comments from the Department of Transportation in reference to level of service. We received copies of information from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division referencing the Western Sussex Planning Area. We received comments on soils from the Sussex Conservation District. The commission found in a public hearing that Bobby Horsey was present with James Fuquay, attorney on behalf of Fuquay and Urey Professional Association, and Jeff Clark of Land Tech Land Planning LLC on behalf of the applicant. The commission received a proposed finding of facts and proposed condition of approval from Mr. Fuquay. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application during the public hearing. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1741 for David G. Horsey and Sons Incorporated based upon a record provided at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the conditional use is for the use of fill dirt used in construction of residential, commercial, and road construction. Two, the proposed site is centrally located and will be used by the entire county. Three, the proposed site is similar to an operation on the south side of Route 20 that has terminated its use after 20 years. Four, the application will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties, public facilities, or public highways. Five, the proposed use will be subject to comply with the requirements of Section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. And six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, no materials may be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. Two, the operation of the bar pit shall be controlled to provide reasonable protection to surrounding properties as follows. A, a 200-foot buffer shall be maintained along that portion of the site which abuts State Route 20, also known as Harbison or Hardscrapple Road, and Route 446, also known as Asbury Road. Right-of-ways. Existing vegetation within the buffer area between the property line and the perimeter dike shall remain undisturbed. B, 100-foot vegetation buffer shall be maintained along all other perimeter property lines within the site. Existing vegetation between the property lines and the perimeter dike shall remain undisturbed. C, a water truck will be available to control dust from interior trucking traffic when conditions require. Three, under those recommendations, the hours of operation of trucking activities shall be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. There shall be no trucking activities on Sunday. Four, entrance improvements required by the Delaware Department of Transportation in connection with this land use will be completed by the applicant. Five, the bar pit entrance shall have a fence gate, which shall be secured when the operation is closed. Six, no materials will be stored on any access roads or within any buffer areas. Seven, signage will be placed at appropriate locations to designate the pit areas. Eight, fuel shall be stored in storage tanks with confinement areas as required by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and the Office of the State Fire Marshal. Nine, no stumps, branches, debris, or other similar items will be buried on the site. 10, a final site plan, including all pit side slopes, excavation phasing, and reclamation plan shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to commencement of operations. 11, before any excavation operations begin, a complete environmental impact study as defined in connection with ordinance number 1310 will be conducted and presented with a final site plan. 12, the owner shall comply with all state and county erosion and sediment control regulations. 13, the owner shall be responsible for monitoring groundwater quality. Specifically, owner shall install two wells, one above the excavation and one below the excavation. Monitoring shall be performed by a licensed geologist and the results filed on an annual basis with the county and the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. The owner shall be responsible for all costs associated with the water monitoring. The owner shall also be responsible for the cost of correcting any adverse impact on water quality which may be occasioned by the excavation operation. Necessary remediation shall be determined by Sussex County upon guidance from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. 14, reclamation plan shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance. Reclamation will be completed in phases as excavation operations in a section are completed. The applicant will notify the Planning and Zoning Department in writing on or about April 1st of each year as the status of the reclamation and reclamation plan for the following year. 15, the 199.5-acre parcel shall be divided into three phases of approximately 45 acres each. Phase two will not be started until 75% of phase one is completed. Phase three will not start, be started until 75% of phase two is completed. 16, the dredge may operate 24 hours per day, but no front-end loaders, backhoes, or other construction equipment with safety buzzers will operate after 10 p.m. 17, every 5 years after the start of digging, the Planning and Zoning Department shall perform an inspection of the site and shall request written comments from all appropriate state agencies so that the Planning and Zoning Commission can review the comments to verify compliance with all then existing conditions. After 20 years, the property owner shall complete and pay for an environmental impact study as the phase is defined by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control or any successor. Upon certification by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control of the owner's compliance with then existing regulations, the permit shall be extended for an additional 10 years. The permit shall terminate upon the expiration of 40 years from the date of enactment. 18, trucking vehicles shall be prohibited from using Road 446, Asbury Road. The entrance to the bar pit shall be on from Route 20, Hartscrapple Road. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Gentlemen, that's all I have. I received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since the public hearing.
Any questions of Mr. Lank?
Yeah, I got one. Lawrence, could you, number 17, where you said verify compliance with all then existing, what do you mean by then existing? Does that mean, would that be the current or would that be the original? What do you mean by then existing?
Well, that would be the regulation at this time. And it could change.
So if new
if the regulation to change with DENREC, then that's what
they
we'd
have to
comply with.
They'd have to update. Okay, that's what I'm trying to get. That means clarification. Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Lang?
I'm just passing down some photographs that were supplied by the applicant of the dredge activity and one of their existing sites, just for informational purposes. It is a part of the record.
Is this the one that's across the street?
Well, that would be presented by the applicant.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Willard, are you?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuquay and Urey representing the applicant in this case. The applicant is here today. In fact, over my left shoulder here, this is David Horsey, if you don't know him, and his three sons, Michael, Wayne in the back, and Bobby, representing the applicant. And you all know Jeff Clark, who's with LandTech. As Mr. Lank last stated, this application was heard several weeks ago by Planning Commission. And that night, it was unanimously recommended for approval, 5-0. We have, from the outset, no opposition whatsoever to any of the conditions that they imposed. In fact, most of them were the ones we suggested, save for the no traffic on Asbury Road, which they added, which we have no objection to. This is a conditional use application for a borrow pit for a parcel of land located on the north side of Hartscrapple Road, also borders the east side of Asbury Road, and it's approximately 3 miles southwest of Georgetown, just east of Route 9 and the Route 20 intersection. You have a photograph. This is the Hartscrapple Road, Asbury Road. This is the new parcel. It's all wooded. This is a bar pit that they've operated since about 1985, I think, that currently is in reclamation. We'll talk about that a little bit. In the essence of this application is, you know, this one's going to bed, and this is what they're applying to get a new conditional use for. Landfill's right down the road here. Okay. And to the extent there are people here that are interested in this application, they have a similar photograph in front of them, an aerial photograph. The site of the application contains approximately 199.5 acres of land, and it's zoned AR1. The site was previously owned by Gladfelders Corporation and is wooded. There is a 150-foot-wide Delmarva power easement, which crosses the southwest corner of the property. There's also a tax ditch which crosses the southwest corner just north of the power easement in this area here, which wouldn't be disturbed by the bar pit operations. The site is not in a flood zone. The parcel is mainly bordered by cleared farmland and woodland on the west, north, and east. The land fronts on Route 20 on the south, and the rear of the three parcels of land owned by others fronting on Route 20. Directly across from Route 20, from the land of the application, is the site of the original borrow pit. This is the Horsey's property. We refer to it as pit number one. You know, when I first saw these pictures, what struck me was the blue water, and you wonder what causes that, but that's actually, I've been told or learned that the natural color of a very clean water on this particular day, you know, perhaps the sky was blue, but that's what the color actually looks like when it's clean. David Horsey and his sons, Inc., have been in the excavating business for about 22 years. Pit 1 across the street on Route 20 was their original excavation site. The company altogether employs about 142 employees in a variety of positions involving this pit and the others. They operate an excavation site adjacent to the solid waste facility, so just down the road, and I believe this one's called the James Pit. Just down the road here, when you go to the entrance, you can see that. You all know is the nature of a conditional use is it's quasi or public. There's some public use. It's not just a McDonald's or Dairy Queen operation. Obviously, it's a private operation. You know, it's about 30% of maybe their operation down at James Pit is actually used for the landfill. I don't know all the technicalities of it, but dealing with covering landfill and things like that. So they've had an ongoing relationship with solid waste as a customer. And obviously the proximity of these pits with that public use is rarely significant, and which makes this proposed site ideal. They also have a site that was recently approved. It's west of Route 9, just west of the intersection is 9 and 20. The pit 1, which you see, the bright blue pond, that was their original site, and currently it's in the process of reclamation. A little later on, Mr. Clark will talk to you about reclamation, but you know it involves actually putting it back to or in a condition of a more natural state, which is this is in the process of it. And there's been sodding, some seeding going on, and I'm told there are actually some bass in that pond. The original site had an excavation area of approximately 90 acres. This application will cover approximately 135, so they're 200 acres. Obviously, and I'm going to show you the site plan shortly, or you have it in your file, it would happen in phases, but that would be the total pit size projected. As you know, a borrow pit operation involves the removal of topsoil, gravel, and sand. Based on the past history of the operation of pit one and the soil studies done on this site, it was determined that the proposed site here is excellent, in fact, for the intended use. So studies were done of the soils in this area, and you just can't dig a hole anywhere in Sussex County and get that result. This happens to be an area that made this pit successful in the proximity. It looks like it's going to bear out in that one as far as the quality of the soil and how you can produce different sand mixes. Since Pit 1 operated across from Route 20 and is now completed, the proposed operation and its impact will be similar to the conditions that have existed since the mid-80s in this location. In other words, when you talk about impact on this area on this road, to the extent we're putting one to bed and starting another, it should more or less kind of be the status quo. In addition to the excellent soil conditions, the central location of this operation in the county is pretty key between Route 13 and 113, and as well as to the public use. We've already spoken about the landfill. Trucks leaving the site will enter onto Route 20, either go to Route 113 or Route 9. Any trucks leaving Pit 1 from the historical records was approximately 170 trucks per day, 340 round trip, and similar number of truck trips are anticipated. Trips are spread out over the workday as trucks are loaded. Based on the number of trips, DelDOT did not require a traffic impact study for this, largely perhaps for the reason that they're putting one, you know, down and starting another one, so it's sort of what existed before. The entrance and approval for this
would have to be approved by LDOT. I'm going to put up the site plan. You have a version of this in your file. Does everybody, I'm sorry, gentlemen, do you all have one of these books? Because we have extras. And it's in a leaflet back there, tab Exhibit 6, I think it is. An environmental site assessment was done. A phase one was performed by James McPulley Environmental Consultants. That's in the exhibit book at 7. There's no identification of any adverse environmental features or conditions or threat to endangered species based on the proposed operation. Perhaps most important about this site plant design is we're working from a wooded site, and the application or the site plan as proposed would protect or preserve a significant wooded buffer, more so than actually is required. To the extent you need 50 feet, what's proposed is 100 feet around the north and west, north and east. So around the entire back perimeter along the stars, it would be 100-foot wooded buffer. The woods already exist, they wouldn't be disturbed. And then in this area that fronts Asbury and 20, none of those woods would be disturbed, and that's where I referenced the ditch and the utility easement. So you have your large parcel of woods there. There's a pocket of houses here, and out of respect to them and that's the feature, there would be at least a 200-foot wooded easement preserved there. So the only the site in the various phases would be surrounded by woods, most heavily on the 20 where the residential portions are. And there would just be an entrance that would have to be approved by DelDOT on right there located on the 20. And that's where all the trucks would go. There would be no traffic on Asbury. And as I said, it's a 50-foot requirement. We're proposing 100 feet and then even larger in the front. The only activity in the area, and you know, the horses are here if you have specific or if you have questions about the operation, but actually would be a portion of the land which is shown on the site plan here, approximately 7 acres, looks like, and that's what's referred to as the sand plant. You have pictures of a current operation of a sand plant there, and what that does is sort of divide the sand and mix it, as has been explained to me, is it based on using screens. It'll separate larger grades from smaller grades, which has important applications, whether it be for cement or other uses for fill. It doesn't just require one grade coming out of the pit. They have to actually mix them. There will be nothing brought in or no manufacturing on the site. It would just be sorting what they're pulling out of the dredge or out of the pit. And part of that sand plant operation would involve a scale house and an office. The only water and sewer would be for the office, and there would be on-site septic. The excavation area for the entire site varies from 9 feet to 19 feet. The anticipated excavation proposes three phases, starting in the southwest, moving to the north. And you can see the phases here, though, so they would originally start around the sand plant, and as things develop, go to the west. I'm sorry, go to the north, and then back there. I imagine the timetable depends on market, et cetera. The excavation involves removal of soil and eventual use of the dredge, which can remove material from up to 100 feet. It's important to note that there's no dewatering, although you see... you see what, in essence, becomes a pond. There, it's not a lowering of the water table. That is the water table, and it's established where it is. There's just no dirt with it. And I don't want to reiterate the conditions now, but you heard one of them involving the testing of that water and certain other requirements, which make sure it stays in good shape. Dust is controlled by a water truck on site. To the extent the operation causes any dust, there's a water truck on site to dampen it so it doesn't travel or cause a nuisance to neighbors. And that will remain on the premises and operate on an as-needed basis. Any noise of the excavating should be buffered by the 100-foot minimum wooded buffer.
Ginyu, if you have pictures of what the barge looks like, that's the dredge, and that can operate 24 hours, actually. We've had conditions reference the trucking that would only operate certain hours during the day and not on Sundays and half a day on Saturday. In fact, the specific conditions are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, no trucking activities on Sunday, and the commission recommended that condition. The operation will be subject to comply with all requirements of the borrow pit conditional use section. This is not unlike your campsites and different conditional uses. 172 of your code provides specific conditions, and we've met those. No material will be brought from off-site for mixing or processing. Number two, site is designed and controlled to provide reasonable protection of surrounding properties. 100-foot buffer, twice that's which is required. Entirely wooded. We'd have a water truck on the property to control dust, and also the hours of operation would be limited. Excavation will be phased as a result of the wooded buffers. Operation can't be seen and will be subject to reclamation once it's done. Pit will be at least 200 feet from any dwelling. And the site plan, including recommendation plan, will be required final site plan approval from P&Z. And Mr. Clark's going to talk more about reclamation. Now might be the time for it. And I know soil conservation gets involved in that to some extent. So if I could just pause and let him address reclamation.
Reclamation of the new, this one
yeah.
the one we're talking about, not the old one.
Right. That's in the process, but I think there has to be a plan.
I just want to make sure I know what I'm listening to.
Thanks. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark, landscape architect with the firm of Land Tech Land Planning in Ocean View. As Tim stated, the reclamation plan is actually a plan that needs to be reviewed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District. And the application that we prepared and submitted is actually our plan that we will submit as a reclamation plan to the Sussex Conservation District. Really are two key elements of the reclamation plan. They are safety and erosion. And as you will see on this plan, to address the safety aspects, the slopes into the pit, and you'll see there are several sections on the right upper right-hand corner of the plan that show how the pit will be is proposed to be constructed. But the slopes into the pit are 1 foot vertical to 4 foot horizontal, so it's a very gentle slope leading into the end of the pit. There is, just as you would have in a stormwater pond, there is a safety bench where there will only be 1 foot of water. So if someone would find their way into the pit, there is that safety bench that would have only 1 foot of water. They would be able to recover from that. The second component then is the control of erosion. Again, referring to these cross sections on the plan, there is what we've called and what the Sussex Conservation District regulations call a perimeter dike, and that is just an embankment of earth on top of the surface that prevents erosion from making its way across the surface directly into the pit and going down the walls or the excavated slope and causing erosion. So that's eliminated. And also there is a very strict and prescribed revegetation program, again, on the plan. This is described on the left-hand side of the plan. And that revegetation occurs, as it states on the plan, on a phase-by-phase basis. So as the dredge moves out of one area and moves to the next, there would be there would be a stabilization of that phase then as they move forward. Essentially, that's it for the components of the reclamation plan.
Just to summarize, and then if you have any questions, I've submitted prior to the Planning Commission findings of facts, which are adopted. It's probably somewhat redundant, but I'd like to submit those again. The fill material and operation of a borrow pit is an essential and desirable use in support of all construction activity, including residential, commercial, and rural construction projects. Not only that, because of the economic importance of it in the economic or in the economy here of Sussex County, the local economy, we've also pointed out the public use in regards to the land use that it serves an important role. The proposed site not only is centrally located, but it has exceptional fill material that is the quality is good, but it's also right across from an existing pre-approved borrow pit that is now in the reclamation process. So for those two reasons alone, it makes three reasons. The economic public use, quality of this location for the material, and its central location across from a pit that already exists, reference impact, it seems like an ideal place for it. The proposed impact will be no different than the activity that has long existed in this area and is ideal for the location for the proposed use. Not only is there a pit across the street, there's one down the street, 109. With the design of the operation conditions to be opposed on the operation, no negative or adverse impact on the properties will occur. The commission recommended approval of conditions. Mr. Lank read those conditions to you. I have them to submit to you, which seems redundant, but as a lawyer, I need to do it for the record. She did permit those proposed conditions.
Yes.
And I pointed out to the commission that these are the ones that were approved. I know at the Planning Commission, although Mr. Fuqua did the presentation, and you'll note it in your minutes that there was nobody here in favor, other than the applicant, of course, and nobody here in opposition. There are some individuals here that I believe are here that are neighbors, and I believe will make comments on it, and presumably, I shouldn't presume what they'll say. I don't have anything in the record as of today that they submitted in writing. These conditions, I think, are important if they didn't hear them from the outset, that they specifically require the buffer requirements that are imposed on this project. They specifically require, which will be the law of this land, the hours of operation. The entrance approval would have to be permitted by DLDOT. The entrance would have to be fenced, which shall be secured. No materials will be stored on any excess roads. Signage will be placed in appropriate locations. Fuel shall be stored in storage tanks with confinement areas. No stumps, branches, or debris shall be buried. You must approve, or the Planning Commission must approve, a final site plan. Before any excavations or operations begin, a complete environmental impact study as defined in connection with Ordinance 1310 will be conducted. Owners shall comply with all state and county erosion sediment controls. Owners shall be responsible for monitoring groundwater quality. Specifically, owners shall install two wells, one above the excavation, one below. Monitoring shall be performed by licensed geologists and the results filed on an annual basis. Owners shall be responsible for all costs involving that. Necessary remediation shall be determined by Sussex County. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting, and other details which Mr. Clark has pointed out. The 200-acre parcel shall be divided into three phases. They can't begin it willy-nilly. They got to do phase one at the front and have it at least 75% before they go anywhere elsewhere for phase two. The dredge can operate 24 hours with safety buzzers. Will operate no safety buzzers after 10 p.m. Every 5 years after the start of the digging, the planning department shall perform an inspection. Borrow pits are a permitted conditional use, if I may use that term. It's a listed conditional use that you've recognized in your statute, albeit a conditional use. You've gone further and to put in your in 172 specific conditions that you want to address if you do put one in. You've approved one in the past right across the street, and we're just asking that you approve a similar one across the street when the other one goes to bed. Now, I note that there's an individual named...
Hold on. You said when the other one goes to bed. So that is a fact. There'll be no dual digging?
My understanding, and maybe Mr. Clark can address this more specifically, that once you're done digging across the street, it's done and you do the reclamation. Mr. Clark, can you answer that more specifically?
Yeah, it's the pit.
I'll use the photograph.
Phillips to explain, but the pit across the street is in the reclamation phase. There's no more material that's going to be brought out of that pit. So the two will not operate concurrently.
But the other pit's how close to the one that's operating today is how close to that one?
Directly across the street.
This is the site.
That's no. There's another pit in close proximity here, right, isn't there?
James nearby? Pit.
How about James pit?
The next closest pit is how far from there?
The one by the landfill.
The landfill is about a mile down the road.
Is that the closest?
About a mile and a half down the road. I think that's the closest, yeah.
At the entrance of the Jones.
And the lifespan of that one is what? Probably. Approximately. Anybody got any ideas?
15 years, George.
Okay, thanks.
One of the individuals that lives, and her name is Lois Davis, and I believe lives right here, right next to the existing borrow pit. She recently signed an affidavit in reference to a borrow pit application in Maryland County to the Horsies, and I have that here today for submission to the council. In essence, it says, Lois Davis, I have resided within 500 feet of the sand and gravel mining processing facility operated by the Horsey family and known as Sand Plant Number 1 during the entire period of its operation. I have not experienced a well failure or any problems with noise, dust, lighting, physical activity, or other conditions resulting from the sand and gravel mining and processing operations. These operations have not adversely affected the use, peaceful enjoyment, or value of my property. Although the operation of this facility did not affect the use, peaceful enjoyment of the property, the reclaimed lake that has resulted from mining activity significantly enhances the value of my property. I am not employed or otherwise affiliated with the Horsey Family LLC or any related entities. And as an asterisk to the well information, she adds, I did need a new well installed, but if due to age of the well or the sand plant operation could not be determined, problems with noise, dust, etc., or other problems were dealt with to my satisfaction by the Horsey family. I solemnly affirm under the penalties of perjury that the contents of the foregoing affidavit are true, and I just know this to be signed by Lois Davis in reference to a Board of Appeals Dorchester County application for Horsey Farms LLC. And I'd like to submit that to the county.
And I have one other technical thing to do, and then I'm finished. Gentlemen, if you have any questions. Mr. Horsey, could you stand forward for a second?
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
David G. Horsey, 28107 Beaver Dam Branch Road, Laurel, Delaware.
Mr. Horsey, have you heard my representations and Mr. Clark's to counsel this afternoon based on your application?
Yes, I have.
And are they true and correct representation of your application?
Yes, absolutely.
Gentlemen, that's all we have. If you have any questions for me, Mr. Horsey or Mr. Clark?
Yeah, Mr. Brett, just some little things. I don't know, was there any concern with the Department of Natural Resources, say, when you open up the water table like this and have such these big ponds, the Daish? Were there any concerns from DNREC? Is anybody aware of any?
We're aware of none. There's never been any complaints filed, any notices given on any of the borrow pits.
Okay, I didn't know if there was any concern coming from Department of Natural Resources with that. Okay. And you said how many are in, and I'm just trying to get a feel of how many are in this area now. Because
There are.
What I'm trying to get at is in the old days we used to, you know, try to get an applicant to tell us why they feel there's a need for another borrow pit when there's others already operating. Are we running out of dirt? Is there, you know, in other words, tell me why there is a need for this pit.
Mr. Councilman, one of the main reasons right now, there's a project I think is coming out this coming winter or next spring for the Delaware Solid Waste Authority. I understand it's going to take quite an excessive amount of field dirt. It's construction for Cell 5. And with the our James pit, we call it, and our plant 2, we call it, we just cannot. There's not enough digging area to get enough top dirt because, as you can see, if you look at this photograph closely, the water table is only, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 feet down. So you got to have dry dirt, and you'd have to have you'd have to have 2 miles of probably a mile and a half to 2 miles of a bank to throw up dirt out of the water so give it time to dry before you haul it. Because if that job's as big as I think it's going to be, it'll require in excess of 10,000 cubic yards per day. And that's the reason for this. We would probably open up probably 20 to 25 acres, 20 to 25 acres, and dig mostly top dirt off for this construction landfill. That's why I feel it's needed, because we're closest. We're a mile and a half, 2 mile haul. We certainly think we can beat the price of any of our competition. So that's, Mr. Councilman, I think that should answer your question on that possibly. Any more questions that I could answer while I'm up here?
Question, gentlemen?
And how deep will this one be? I think when the last one we had that long years ago, it was like 100 feet deep. How long?
This one will be, the material goes about 96, 97 feet deep on that. Okay. So, and that's been my goal with these things, to not have to have any more pits than we'd absolutely need. So we go down and get everything that's there above the uppermost confining layer. So it's cost us extra several hundred thousand dollars to build, have dredges built that will go down that deep. And I've always used the analogy when people say, my God, isn't that awful dangerous? Well, if you're 6 foot one, your nose is about 6 foot, I mean about 5 foot six. If you get in 5 foot seven water, you're in trouble, aren't you? So 5 foot seven or 100 feet, what's the difference? That's my analogy. But at least you go down and you get all the product that's there. This particular site, I was there when part of it was drilled, saw some of the drilling as it came up, and the material on this property is fully as good as what we had at plant one. Pot might even be a little better in a lot of the areas. It's real good material.
Any more questions of Mr. Horsey? Thank you, sir. To conclude your presentation, Mr. Willard.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application?
Okay.
Got a few people there.
One at a time.
In no particular order, we'll start with the lady on the outside. And everybody will be given a chance to speak. So if, to the extent that you're able to do so, if you have a different point to make than the speaker before you, that would be helpful.
Tim, move that back so they can walk by. Thank you.
Good evening, or good afternoon, I guess it still is.
I'm Bernice Moore, 15002 County Seat Highway, Seaford, Delaware.
Whereabouts is that in reference to the property, ma'am?
I am on 9, is where my residence is, okay. But my farm is to the back part of where they're proposing to put this.
Okay.
My concern is down the road. What is going to happen to this water supply? It's going to sit there. It's beautiful now. Mm-hmm. After a period of time, it's going to become stagnated. Has there been a study into this, to what is going to happen to this water?
To the pit, the existing pit, is that what you're talking
well,
about?
Well, there's one right at my back door, Adams's, which has been closed for quite a while. The plant one is down past me on 20. The other one is on 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are very close. The geese are coming in.
If you have any information as to what you think might happen down the road, that would be helpful if you could tell us. We're not really set up to answer your questions because this is a hearing where we want to hear from you.
And so. Department of Natural Resources, ma'am, is the agency that's supposed to address those issues, and I guess we don't have anything in the...
No.
Department of Natural Resources didn't respond. Or
so something. Just tell us your concerns.
I'm just concerned that we need to study what kind of impact it is going to have on us down the road.
Okay.
With this money that close, our water supply... If the stagnation goes down into our water, and I understand it flows from there towards Laurel, so it's not only going to affect the local people, it's going to be towards Laurel.
Now, ma'am, time isn't of the essence. I didn't get that sense from the attorney or Mr. Horsey or anything right now. If we sent a letter to the Department of Natural Resources asking that question, would that... Do you think that would...
That and Dunerec to check in.
Because we don't have anybody on our staff that would answer those kind of questions.
I think this is the problem. We don't have any deep regulation on what is going to happen in the future to our water supplies and how it's going to affect the people in the area.
Right.
But
do you think it's sufficient then to just a request from the Department of Natural Resources and see what their comments? Because we did it once before on an earlier request of another bar pit or this.
And as far as the buffers and that kind of thing, what has happened to the one on 9? We're supposed to have security gates. I haven't seen any gates. Who's checking on these things, that the regulations that are supposed to be done? These are for our protection. I mean, anybody can go in there and dump something in that water at night and contaminate it. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am. I can't argue with you.
But that's my big thing, okay. Is what's going to happen to our water. We've got sod farms, very close, same area. We're not going to have any drinking water. I got a letter about maybe 6 or 7 months ago from a water company wanting me to sign a petition to have water brought in. Mm-hmm. Now I know why. Because it's going to affect
me. They want the rights. Mm-hmm. They want their water rights. That's what they're looking mm-hmm. for. Or land grabbing is what they call that.
Yeah. Whatever.
But I understand your concern. Whoop.
That is my biggest concern, is what health-wise it is going to happen to us. If we don't take care of it now, it's going to be too late when our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, if they're still alive.
Okay? Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you for hearing.
Next speaker.
Or afternoon. My name is Karina McAllister. I live at 14933 County Seat Highway, Seaford, Delaware. I live right on Route 9. My mother lives right across the street from me. That property has been in my family almost 100 years, including the property that my mother owns, the farm over there. I'm not concerned about the aesthetics. I'm not concerned about buffers. I'm not concerned about beautification. My main concern is what type of regulations are there on the books for how many burrow pits you can have in a 1 mile radius? And by the way, that pit number 2, I believe, is 3.9 miles away. I think that the applicant needs to prove that it's within regulations to have that many burrow pits that close together. Number one, I don't know if there are any. If there have been any studies on burrow pits being this close together, and the picture I want to paint is, first we have the old dirt pit right behind my mom's house. It's been there 40 years. Then we have Horsey's first pit there on 20. Then we have number 2 pit on Route 9. And we also have the landfill right next to their first pit. So you have all this open surface, and I'm not a water expert and don't pretend to be one. But we've got all this open water and a lot of evaporation. And we've had one farmer who applied for a well permit and was denied because of where, this is the way I understand it, where it was going to hit. I mean, I'm not a well expert. They weren't happy with that. And now we got a farmer who wants to produce a product that you can eat, not cut grass, but, and he's denied his permit to grow a product. My main concern is just that. I want to know what the regulations are. And if there aren't any, then there need to be some. And I'm concerned about the effects of it on my drinking water. I have farmers all around me pumping water day and night. And for the first time in 20 years, my well's sputtering. I'm not too happy about it. But that's my main point. Thank you.
We do not have any regulations at the county level.
Why not?
About number of pits in one area.
And why not? I'm sorry, I'm just...
I
guess it's not come up.
It's not been
up.
An issue, exactly.
Oh, and I have another point. The applicant says that it's a benefit that these pits are right across the street from one another. I don't see that as a benefit. Sucking all that groundwater up, sitting there like that, I don't look at that as a benefit to the community at all. And what I'm asking is that the councilman consider this as the effect on the community, and not from a business standpoint. Thank you.
Thanks. Next speaker.
Good afternoon. Dr. Michael Smith, 16042 Hartscrabble Road. I'm really glad they brought these pictures because it gives you a really good sense of what's going on. My house is right across the street. For those who don't see, it is right here.
Say that, how many acres? Just think of something 50 acres bigger directly across the street from your house.
Their attorney talked about quality. He talked about status quo, ideal. Who's it ideal for? Now, I understand the horses have a business and are trying to make money. It's not ideal for my family and the people that live on Route 9. 43,750. That's the number of trucks that are going to go by my house in 1 year. They said 175 a day. Could you imagine that going by your house? Not people going to the beach, not people looking at Sussex County, 43,750 trucks going by my home. To me, that's not ideal. To me, that is not status quo. I just can't understand that everybody's thinking, let's just let it happen, run of the mill, little Sussex County, no one's going to be upset about this. But again, I'm in a sandwich right now. One in my backyard, now one in my front yard, even bigger. Bigger and better, I hear. I don't hear that. So by their attorney saying it's great that it's right across the street, it's not great for my family, and anybody that's going to have 43,750 trucks go by their house in a year. That is not acceptable. Thank you.
Where's your home again?
Where's your?
I live right across the road. And
remember, can you point to it on the map?
Two by two, quick.
Okay. I'm in this bit of trees right here, and okay. The one is right directly in my backyard, right. And the other one will be directly in my front yard. Granted, they'll have a 200-foot buffer, but okay. we will be sandwiched.
He must be tired. Okay. I got you.
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
That's where the new one's going to be. So okay. We are right here. Right. That's our backyard. This.
Would you buy Everett Messick?
He's on 20.
I live 7/10 of a mile down from Mr. Messick's store.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
He's right on 20.
Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Lois Davis. I live at 16066 Hardscrabble Road. I'm probably affected as much as anyone by this new proposed plan. The former sand plant and borrow pit are directly behind my home. I'm next door to Dr. Smith. For 20 years, we've lived with a sand plant operating behind us. And during that time, my late husband was an employee at Mr. Horsey, and I do consider the Horsey family friends of mine. Our complaints during that time, yes, were dealt with. As far as the backup beepers at night, that was dealt with. The water truck was used whenever I had a complaint. I went to David or Wayne, especially Wayne, and they were dealt with. My concern is going forward, the second one across from me. I, again, say what Mike just said, we're sandwiched. When the first one shut down, we all breathed a sigh of relief, and we thought, well, life can get back to the way it was without the dust and the noise and the dirt. And I even expressed that to David at times. You know, gosh, I'm glad this is over with. The lake behind me is a concern, of course. I have four grandchildren that live next door, and that's not a good thing. And going forward, I guess that the next 20 years, after the 20 years or so, we're going to have another lake across the road from us to deal with. You're probably all sitting there saying, well, why doesn't she sell and move away? Well, who's going to buy our homes? We're surrounded by dirt pits and sand plants, and oh, let's not forget the landfill. So I guess my feeling is, you know, why us again? I think enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Smith, and I live at 16042 Hardscrabble Road.
What was the last name, ma'am?
Smith.
Thank you.
Dr. Smith is my husband, and Mrs. Davis, that just spoke, is my mother. With all due respect to Mr. Willard, who spoke earlier, he kept referring to the fact that this is going to be directly across, you know, this new plant's going to be directly across from the old plant, directly across, directly across. Directly across from both these plants is my home and my mother's home and my cousin's home and my aunt and uncle's home. That's what's in between these two plants. So it's not directly across. Route 20, as well as a large section of woods, which we own and live in, is in that area. So it is not directly across. I heard him mention several times that quality of soil, quality of soil, quality of soil. And one of the things I'm concerned about is quality of life. We do have, and we have developed, I have a map here that you can, you're welcome to look at, of all the borrow pits in our area. This will make five in our vicinity, not including the landfill, if this one is added on.
Within how far are you talking about? Within
5 miles. Our home is located right on 20. We have this one, where's the picture? Right behind us. We're going to have one right in front of us. We have one right down the road next to the one they've referred to as the James Pit. We have the one out on Route 9, which is just, you know, across the field from us. And there's abandoned one that I believe Bernice referred to as the Adams Pit, all in our vicinity. And it was also mentioned that there was no opposition at the first hearing. And I can tell you why. None of us knew about it. None of us were informed, received no letters, saw no signs, nothing. We heard about it Friday night. And since Friday night, our neighborhood has gathered together. And I can tell you, I've lived in Hardscrabble. I'm 38 years old. It's the first time I've ever seen our neighborhood gather together for something. We've been together 3 nights in a row, working on this, talking to our neighbors. I've met people I've never even knew live next door to me. But they're here, and they're in the back, and I've only met them once. But none of us knew about it. And that's disappointing to me, that that's how the system works. Because I was told, I actually talked to Mr. Dukes, I was told that people who had adjoining property, and if you were 250 feet away, Route 20 isn't that big, and I am directly across Route 20 to this property, as well as my mother, my aunt and uncle, a person who's here, he'll speak in a few minutes, who has property directly adjoining it. None of us were told about this. I just thank God that we found out about it before it passed today. My mother spoke to the fact that it was a sigh of relief. I grew up with that sand pit behind my house. And I chose to build next door to my parents and live there. And yes, for a number of years, I believe all of our needs were met by Mr. Horsey, in large part because my father was an employee of Mr. Horsey and a good friend. So any complaints my mom especially had were taken care of. Now, I didn't necessarily talk to the Horseys about issues that I had with my house, but she had more direct impact than I did. What I'm concerned about now is that this impact is going to affect us again. We all were just so relieved when the pit closed and it was done. You would not believe the traffic of dump trucks, the banging of the back of the trucks, hearing the backup beepers, the dust. I had to close in my porch just so I could be able to use it in the back of my house because of the dust coming through. So that's our biggest concern, is what our quality of life is going to be there. Also, we're really concerned about who's going to be monitoring any of these things. Yes, that's a really pretty picture of the pond directly behind me, but since that's been taken, the sod's already starting to turn brown. You know, it's been dry, and we recently have had some rain, but who's going to take care of that? Who's going to monitor that and make sure that it stays that way and looks that pretty and looks that nice, and what the heck's going to happen with it afterwards anyway? We're concerned because I have heard from numerous sources that the regulations that were in place for the Route 9 plant have not been followed, that there's not a security gate, that they did not establish the buffer that they said they would establish there. So how can I trust that the provisions that have been laid forth in this one are going to be done, that the woods across from me won't be touched, as Mr. Willard said in front of everyone, that that will be left there for our aesthetic value? I can't trust that that's going to happen if I see the other plants aren't being regulated in a way to make sure that they're following those recommendations. Those are my concerns, and I know I have plenty of neighbors behind me that are, would like to speak as well, but I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Monty Carey. I live directly across the street from the proposed dirt pit that they want to build over there. We basically found out about this on Friday. Like she said, we didn't know anything about it. We didn't get a letter. And it kind of caught us by surprise. We did get together with a lot of people, but there was a lot of other people that couldn't make it. So I have a list of people here that I'd like to give you. Still have other people that are interested in opposing this. We're getting phone calls as we were leaving the house today. So basically, it's kind of like what Stephanie Smith said. It's a quality of life. My house was built, I'm right next to the old sand plant. I had to plant trees all the way around my house to keep the dust and the dirt out. So we've tried to get along all through these years, and we've just basically had enough. They've had one in our backyard for 20 years. And we really don't want to have one in our front yard. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Donna Carey. I live at 16272 Horse Gravel Road. That was my husband that just spoke. And I, too, am concerned about everything that everyone else has mentioned. The increased truck traffic. I mean, we live with the land, the landfill down the road from us. But the increased truck volume that's going to be going by our house, the noise that's created. This has been the first year I've been able to lay out my pool and not hear beeps and bangs and the banging of the truck gates that happens constantly throughout the day and over half a day on Saturday. The well water is also a big concern for me for what's going to happen down the road. I, too, would like to see some type of study done or talk to someone that has the expertise in what's going to happen to this water when it becomes stagnant. Mosquito populations could increase. It could damage our well water. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I would like to see that looked into as well. Just the safety issue of the trucks coming out onto the roads. I know they used Route 20 shoulder as a merge lane for many years while that pit was going on, because they came right by our driveways and up into the shoulder of our yard before pulling out onto Route 20. I've had two busted windshields that I've gotten on the Route 9 location within the past year. Can't say for sure that that's what caused it, but I know there are dirt and stones that come out onto the road from the trucks that are pulling out of this location, and it was like within a half a mile that I got both stones damaged to my windshield. I'm going to let everyone else speak. I think most of us have a lot of the same concerns. And I just thank you for the time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else?
I'm Evelyn Davis. I live at 27165 Beaver Dam Branch Road. My daughter and son-in-law just spoke before me. Now, I was concerned about not getting any notice about the first meeting, because we do have land that joins right up to where the proposed pit will be. But everybody else has covered that, so I will go to the fact about the geese that come in. Now, they're going to think that's funny, but we raise poultry. And there are an awful lot of geese. In the wintertime, it's completely covered. I'm sure you know that. And they carry disease, and we have to be very careful about that, because with poultry, if they get a certain disease in there, your flock is destroyed. And that would be our livelihood gone. And they also destroy crops for the farmers and things like that. So that's mostly my concern right now. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else?
I'm Arthur Davis. Mm-hmm. Wife was just up here at 27165 Beaver Dam Branch Road. My most complaint is about the noise, the geese. Just terrible. And then snow geese come in. They eat up the crops. And the quality of the water, I mean, who knows what's going to happen down the road. And that's about all I got to say about it.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else back there that would like to be recognized?
One back there.
No, got it.
Sorry, I was Thought everybody was on the same.
I'm Betty Turner at 15092 Hardscrabble Road. I am so sick and tired of having all so many trucks. The traffic is just terrible with our trucks. And it's going to be even worse with this other pit that they're wanting to do. And besides, I did not get noticed the first time, which my property does. It's upside where they're proposing. And the snow geese, oh my God, they're there by thousands, and you never heard so much noise in your life. It's terrible to be outside. And the noise from the pit is just terrible. We've lived with this for so long, and I'm hoping that you'll look into all of this and consider our wants. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
My name is Willis Kirk. I live at 28475 Beaver Dam Branch Road. I'm not directly within the area across the road or directly near these sites. But my concern has been over a period of years since the first site was put in about the quality of water. I know there's been some discussion here today about DENREC, and in my opinion, questions go both ways with this. I think it would behoove the council perhaps to ask some questions perhaps of DENREC, as it would be for DENREC to respond. I have made some phone calls to DENREC, and what I essentially have found out is that borrow pits and regulations end up in several different aspects of DENREC. They're not all consolidated in one particular area. There are three sites out there now. Two are active and one is inactive. The inactive site is really the one that can create the most problems in discussing some of these things. And I know you will have to have definitive information from DENREC on this, but what happens is when you dig a hole with a post hole digger in the ground, you have water comes into that and water flows up. Same thing happens here. You're going down 60, 70, 80 to 100 feet. This is in one aquifer. The aquifer is known as the Columbia Aquifer. That aquifer supplies all the water, for the most part, to the citizens of Sussex County, and does flow through, and the town of Laurel uses that water. That's part of their water source. There is another aquifer underneath of that aquifer that is saved essentially for safety's sake, that should that main aquifer become contaminated, we could put wells down below that at a much greater expense to homeowners and to other companies that would supply these things that seem to be needed from the standpoint of water. There are dredges placed in these landfills in order to do that. Water is pumped to keep the levels of water down at times from there into tax ditches. But when this site becomes inactive, what happens is this water reaches equilibrium. It reaches an equilibrium status with the water table, and it will slowly move up and down depending on drought conditions, wet conditions, water going into there from your surface water. However, when this becomes stagnated and still and just flowing up and down, you have an aquifer that is flowing underneath of this. And there is potential in this aquifer flowing underneath, the Columbia Aquifer, that any contaminants that are in that water will then move through into this aquifer. Now, right now, when you have this pit as it is, most contaminants, if there are any, in fact, at that point, would be in that area. Mm-hmm. And they would remain in that area until something would occur that they would possibly move out of that area. The one that bothers me more per se than this pit is the one that's down at the landfill, where you have a barrier that's in there in that landfill. Virginia Tech did a study on these. They don't last as long as people think when household chemicals and everything occur, and you get perforation, you get water movement down. There was a natural clay barrier in there. So you have a potential, and I'm not saying it may not be a problem, but there's a potential. And at a minimum, I would think that you would want to look at an environmental assessment of the area in some way to determine an impact. I've known the horses for a long time. I've had one or two of their students in school. I have no axe to grind. I have asked and I have talked to council people at different times, and they could verify this for years, not just today. And I made up my mind that today I would come over and express my opinion, because I wanted in my own mind to find out, and in some way, that this is secure, that this is going to be secure for the people that are there and for the other residents that are not in that immediate area. That's all I have.
Sir, you're, from what you've heard about the conditions and everything, you don't feel comfortable that anything's being protected at this point, is what you're saying?
Well, there's two elements of security with this. The one element of security is the fact that someone already alluded to the fact that there is nothing there to prevent anybody from going in to contaminate that water. There's a chemical referred to as MTBE. It was removed from gasoline and replaced with ethanol. San Antonio, Texas has a huge problem with this because you can't take it out of the water. And it's very microscopic in how it acts. And heaven forbid if somebody were to go in and put something in this water, that may or may not for years create a problem. But all I'm saying is to consider it, to look at it.
But we, like I said, we don't have the ability to do it at the county level.
I understand that.
Then are you comfortable if we request from DNREC?
Yes.
They have the potential.
Either
to
that or an independent.
We typically don't hire independents. We might ask applicants to hire independents, but I don't think we'll probably do that. Do you feel that the Department of Natural Resources would have the ability to look at a lot of these issues? Do they have the expertise to?
I feel if the individual people from the right departments were there, yes, they could do an assessment with that, right. Yes.
Well, if they dropped that same chemical down an irrigation well, wouldn't it act in the same
fashion? It would do the same thing, but understand the fact that my irrigation wells all have tabs on them. They're all registered. Mm-hmm. I have an enclosed casing. It's not the fact that it couldn't be dropped down there. It would have the same impact. But we're looking at acres and acres of open aquifer. Nature didn't open these aquifers. Human beings did.
What if they threw it in a lake? Is that going to have a difference?
The lake itself, you're not involved with an aquifer. You have a sealed area. You may have springs coming into that lake. Trap Pond would be an example of...
But a household well.
Would be the same, I assume, as as another well, yes.
It's just more difficult to contaminate a well than it would be to open water, right? I mean, it makes
yes,
sense.
I would think so. It's in sight in my own mind.
I'm sure you could contaminate anything you'd want if you want to go to the trouble.
Sure.
Well, one of the stipulations, they have to have wells that monitor anything that's moving off site or coming in or going out.
But understand, that's reactive rather than proactive. If you find something in those monitoring wells, it's already happened.
Too late.
It's reactive rather than proactive. So that we have that over in on the other side of Laurel with the landfill that was out there, the old landfill.
Yeah, those landfills were built according to the state specifications, and then the state changed their regulations, and we spent millions of dollars trying to come up with new state regulations. Mm-hmm. But we did everything the state said do out there.
Just trying to get my arms around your point.
The point of security?
Yeah, security. Are you suggesting there needs to be greater security or no dirt pits?
I'm not. There is a need for borrow pits. Everyone recognizes that. As to where they are and what's done with them, I don't know. My concern is the quality of it down the line as to what's going to happen. you have several elements of security. You have the youngster that can run across the road and play in the water and drown. Okay? That's one element of security. You have the other of the possibility of someone unknowingly contaminating that for some reason or knowingly doing it. You've got three or four of these in the open area. So from I'm referring to that as a security part, and I'm referring to the security of the water from the standpoint of contaminants that may down the road possibly affect that aquifer.
How deep is that aquifer? Do you know that? I mean, I'll ask the applicant maybe. How deep do you dig? Do you hit water? Anybody know? If it doesn't matter, you just if
you do. Why don't
you wait
till
when he gets done, Mr. Horsey.
Mr. Horsey,
when he gets done, then we'll ask you. Okay. But that I got a question. I don't know. Nobody's mentioned that the whole time.
I mean, we had wells, to answer part of your question, we had wells years ago that only went 30 feet deep, and it was very good drinking water. Now we have wells, a typical well goes down 60 to 80 feet, somewhere in that range. Right. And that is in that aquifer area.
The unconfined aquifer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who has not been recognized yet from the group opposing who would like to be heard?
Anybody? I don't see anybody.
That will apparently conclude
opposition. Could Jeff, Mr. Clark, or Mr. Horsey just answer that, please?
If we do that, we've got to give the opposition an opportunity. Oh. So we said at the outset we will hear from each side.
Put that in
I don't think anybody's going to.
Okay.
I mean, I think we could handle that.
Okay.
That,
it's okay with me.
I don't think it's a big threat, unless the rest of you do. I don't, you know, I think that
that's
we can
fine.
Handle another
think
question.
I don't think anybody has any opposition to that.
I'm just curious. Yeah, could you somebody answer just how deep do you have to go? Do you hit dirt? I mean, water? I'm sorry, water.
Not very far.
You don't have to hit. Yeah, dirt's easy to hit. But.
Mr. Councilman, I answered a while ago. Anywhere from 6 to 8 feet.
6 to, okay.
And then, but irrigation wells, I have one irrigation well. We struck the clay at about 59 feet. Other wells in the area, we go up to about 95 or 100 feet.
And where do you pump the water when you pump water? Where does it go?
We have dewatered plant one. We haven't done in recent years, and it went into a tax ditch.
Okay. Is there anyone from the opposition group who wants to respond to the statements that Mr. Horsey just made?
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Thank you.
Good call, Jim.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
That's why you don't want to listen to attorneys, right? He won't even look at me.
Well, Mr. Cole wanted you said something about sending a letter to Deneric. And
No, I just heard Dale from the opposition. They raised some questions we can't answer, and I just asked a couple of them, do you think DNREC could answer them? And it seemed that they felt comfortable with DNREC. So there was things about water quality, water quantity, ponds like this in the proximity of large ponds. You know, are these an issue? So I have no problem, and I was going to suggest that we maybe do that. So if there's a consensus, we should.
I'm trying to determine what kind of question you want to ask. I mean,
well, I don't feel I'm an expert enough to know the right questions to ask. I would like to leave it to the Department of Natural Resources, but give them a range of issues that we've heard about today that they ought to maybe address, and there may be others that they might want to address because they may know more than we know about, you know, borrow pit operations, et cetera, et cetera.
The first question I think that came up about that would be the impact on the water supply of the area residents. That was a question that was asked. The other thing, whether there was any regulation dealing with the concentration of a number of pits in one geographic area.
Right. Well, just maybe if there is a problem with Department of Natural Resources, do they see a problem with the exposure of the water table and a number of large pits with big ponds like this? And I think we also, maybe the Department of Agriculture, the one thing I didn't even think about was the number of geese that would come in there. I'm sure that the geese are a problem. They are a problem on golf courses with little stormwater retention ponds. So is there a problem with attracting waterfowl like that with the poultry? We have operations in this area, and this is a major farming area of this county. And the other thing would be just will they degrade the water quality and somehow, you know, too many geese in a pond are not good.
Too much poop in the puddle?
Well, I'm not going to say it that way, but you can say it.
Okay.
It picks it up everything. Go ahead.
Well,
I suppose what we
I would say Department of Agriculture.
What we would need would be some form of motion. And we need to, it would be helpful if the motion would address whether to leave the record open or to close the record.
Well, I think if we do that, we need to leave the record open.
I think we would have to leave the record open if we're going to have to.
Well, you want me to make a stab at it then, Mr. Dukes, or you want to do
please.
It?
No, I'm not the expert
okay,
on it.
Okay, no, I'm not either. I'm just saying, I think that then we I'll make a motion we leave the record open and for the Department of Natural Resources comments on water quality, quantity, and these other issues that maybe Mr. Lank could cite that he's just, you know, heard today about the proximity of ponds, open ponds, things like that. And also, I think the Department of Agriculture ought to comment on the ponds in the Ag District and is there any issues associated with this activity and the size of these ponds?
It would, if you're going to leave the record open, it would be helpful to say how long we're going to leave it open for that information to come from the state agencies, and then after it's received, how long we're going to allow for people to see it and respond to it.
Well, I would say, again, I didn't hear anybody say anything about time, but the essence, they have pits, they're operating, they're looking towards the future, so if it takes 60 days, probably, we're probably not going to hinder much, so I'd say 60 days if we leave the record open.
Until we get to, when we get to, maybe we will get to, do you have to, is it more for the lawyers in opposition and both sides, Jim, is that what we're looking at?
I'm just trying to think of how to be fair. I mean,
right.
If you think it's going to take 30 days for these.
I don't know.
Well, from the day we received the response, could we set a time period for the applicant and the opponents to receive the information and submit written responses?
That'd be fine. So then we're only going to put a time frame on after we receive the information, from that point on.
So it would be reported to the council in public session, then there would be a time limit of how long?
About after. 30 days.
30 days.
30 days, whatever. You think
and
that's
all
enough?
Submissions would be in writing.
Okay.
And when we do it on the agenda, will it say, case such a horsey's... it will be on the agenda that way so that the public will understand that we do have we'll have the information.
Is it possible to say that, is there a ringleader to this group?
A ringleader?
Anybody want to be a ringleader?
Be a spokesman?
Well, we could call it that.
Who wants to get a letter to say we got
a ringleader?
We just need to know who to send the information.
We wouldn't mind notifying one person, and then that one person maybe, is there one person that feels it? There we go. We got a victim.
That's Stephanie Smith.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank
Stephanie, did you sign the petition? So we do. Are you on the petition?
We have it.
Okay.
We do have
our address and everything on. Okay, that's cool.
Okay, is that comfort? Everybody comfortable with that? Then she would notify whoever.
And then you can get the information or come into Mr. Lank's office and look at the information, and then you will have a time period to write and comment on
the motion, gentlemen, was Department of Natural Resources and Department of Agriculture response, and then at that point, 30 days.
Right.
Okay. I'll make that
good
motion.
You understand, Lou?
Is that secret address, Stephanie or Laurel?
Tim, you got a question?
My only concern is given no time limit for those two agencies to respond. Kind of, I don't think I have concern about that. I would.
You don't trust the state of Delaware?
Well, it's a big black hole potentially, and it could go on.
You're kidding me.
I would prefer you give them. I mean, it seems to be a simple question, albeit broad, that you give them just 30 days to give you a response. And
well, I mean, I would certainly think that, but if we don't get it in 30 days, then what happens? I mean,
why don't we give them? They may have other things up there that they're working on, but why don't we say 60, then 30?
Try to scrounge up some money somewhere.
So we're going to give the agency 60 days.
We'll work at 60, and we'll see what kind of response we get.
30 days for 30. To respond.
Would that be fine with everybody?
I think so. Everybody okay with that? Yes. That is your motion, Mr.
My motion then will include a 60-day response from the state agencies and a 30-day response from the opposition.
Okay.
Or both sides can, I guess, respond at that point.
Right. Written comment.
Written comment.
Yes. Do I have a second on that? Okay. So we move to second that we, I guess, defer action would be the proper way, saying, Jim, we're leaving a record open for the two state agencies within 60 days and opposition within 30. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes to defer and leave the record open.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Motion's passed? Yes. Okay, so basically the state agencies have 60 days to respond.
we'll get, is it Stephanie, is that correct? Yeah, we're, the ringleader out there, we'll get a letter from Mr. Lang with the information, and you, and Tim, you certainly will, of course, you know, and then we'll, you'll have 30 days to make a response to the council, and then it's in Mr. Dukes' district, and it is his decision on when to put it back on. Yes, sir, one question.
What happens if they don't respond in 60 days?
Well, we'll cross that bridge.
We can't command them to. We'll certainly ask.
We got this big like everybody else.
They will.
Yeah, I think they're using 60 days in. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Lank, CU 1790.
Yes, the next application is conditional use number 17.